It's Saturday morning and time for the Coach's Show. An in-depth look at high school sports with the coaches and players behind the headlines on News Radio KWOS 950 and 104.5. Here's Missouri Hall of Fame sportscaster Kevin Kelly.
Good morning and welcome to the Coach's Show at State High School Wrestling Sectional Action across the state today. The Jefferson City Jays are headed down to Ozark, and we say good morning to Jays head wrestling coach Phil Cagle. Nothing like a bus ride early in the morning on Saturday in late February, Coach.
Well, that's right. That means you've still got guys wrestling, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, I was going to say the option is everybody's at home and the season's over.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen.
All right, down in Ozark today, as we mentioned, you had a district a couple of weeks ago. You did well in the district, but you feel like you left a little as far as points on the mats.
Yeah, we did. We did. Ray Peck had a really good team, and we didn't match up well with them with some of our kids that didn't make it. And so that was the difference. One or two matches could have made the difference. And, you know, we're just, you know, we're going to try to redeem ourselves today. We've had a good week of practice. And kids are loose, and they're feeling good. We're headed to the school right now to check weight to make sure everything's okay.
You know, you go back, and it's been several years since there was a sectional as far as wrestling is concerned. And I remember going back when Steve Johnson was the head wrestling coach for Jefferson City, and the Jays many times would host the sectional, and it was a situation where you wrestled one time. If you won that match, you went to the state tournament. If you didn't, your season was over.
Yes, I was at another school during that time period, and I remember coming up to Jeff City and doing that. And that put a lot of pressure on the kid and a lot of pressure
really?
On the coaches. You know, so this is, we haven't had sectionals in a long time, and we're having it this year because of COVID. Then after this weekend of wrestling, which is 2 weeks until the state. And so everybody's trying to be as safe as they can and take care of the kids.
There'll be 12 wrestlers in each of the 14 weight classes that will make it to the state tournament. There's four sectionals across the state in Class 4, so obviously the top three finishers in each weight class advance, don't they?
Yeah, and that's completely different than what it's been in the past. It's been, we go to districts and you get the top four, and those four go to state. Now they've cut it down to three, so we can have a one-day tournament at state.
Want to talk about the 10 wrestlers that you have at sectionals today. First of all, 8 of the 10 have at least 30 wins, and you have two wrestlers very close to 40 wins on the season.
Yeah, you know, and that we really don't look at the wins too much because our competition hasn't been at the Class 4 competition. And so, we're looking maybe to struggle today because a lot of these schools we haven't seen. We usually see some Springfield schools, Ozark, during the year and everything, but we haven't seen them this year. But and maybe the good thing is they haven't seen us either. So
right.
We're going to, just go down and wrestle.
All right, before we take a look at these 10 wrestlers that will compete today in sectionals, hey, good season for the Jefferson City Lady Jays wrestling team, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was a really good job for them. They made history. They won their first district championship, and we had our first state qualifier. So she's at home working out today. So, it never stops. You got to keep working and keep doing the things that got you there. And that's what we're trying to do with the girls and the boys.
Yeah, the state wrestling tournament still to come for the girls, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And on March the 9th. And, we're excited to take Michaela down there and let her have that experience. And it'd be something she remembers the rest of her life.
All right, as we mentioned, you have 10 wrestlers competing today in the sectionals. Let's break it into five. First of all, give me your wrestlers and how they've done this season in weight classes 106 through 160.
Okay. Well, at 106, we've got Juan Wallace, and he's had a good season, but he's injured his hand, so we had to forfeit 2 weeks ago at the finals because we didn't want to injure it anymore. So we've been letting it heal and everything, so we don't, hopefully it'll be fine. It'll be wrapped up. It'll be protected. We'll have to wait and see if that hinders his wrestling any at all. But he's had a really great season as a senior. And at 120, we have Braden Werthausen, who is a freshman but was a district champion, has done really well. But he has a lot of wrestling experience, so we do. And one of our biggest surprises was at 132, Hunter Wally. And, he finished third or fourth in conference and then comes back and wins the district. He's really done a good job. And at 138, we have JoJo Custer, who's a sophomore, and he's doing a really good job, and he was another district champ. And then at 160, we have Clayton Hurley, who is a junior this year, and he's done a good job, a former state qualifier, and we hope he can get there today.
You talked about JoJo Custer at 138, only being a sophomore. He's 39-1 on the season.
Yeah, he's had quite a few matches. He's done a good job. He's another kid like Brady who has a wrestling experience. And two others are both wrestling in college. They help him, I think, every time they come on, but they have a wrestling match in their house. you can never imagine what that's going to be like.
Okay, let's go 170 through 285 now.
Okay, 170 will be Will Berenson, who won a district championship and probably wrestled the best I've seen him wrestle all year long. He was really focused, really determined, and we really hope that carries over into this sectional tournament. He has a really tough match if he gets there with the kid in from Republic, who has beat him this year. And then at 182 is Michael Fredericks, who's one of our workhorses. He does a really good job. And, he didn't have a good district tournament. Well, we expect him to have a really great sectionals. And at 195, we have Gil Hayes, who's just one of the quickest wrestlers I've probably ever coached in my entire life. He's so quick and so fast. So he's pretty determined. He's had a really good week of practice. And at 220, we have Brent Alber, who a former state placeholder. He makes it back. He's wrestling well. He's a good one that had a good week of practice, and who's our head has a really good week of practice. He's really focused, and he hasn't been much fun to be around. He's so focused. But that's good. That's good.
When you take a look at 170 through 285, and you mentioned each one of those wrestlers, I mean, you've got four of them in there, four of the five from 170 to 220. They've only lost two matches all season long.
Yeah, they've done a good job. They've done a good job. But now now it's time to cut the grass. It's time to, really pick it up and get after it. Be really physical and hit your technique as hard as you can.
You mentioned it just a few moments ago, but again, it's a situation this year with the scheduling and everything due to the pandemic. This is kind of an unknown as far as sectionals is concerned from the standpoint of teams, because in many cases in the district tournament, you will have seen most of those wrestlers, most of those teams in the season, and that's not the case this year down in sectionals, is it?
Oh, no, and it wasn't the case in district. We hadn't seen the Lee Summer or Ray Tech schools at all. We usually see them during the season, and here down here, we'll not have seen any of these teams that's coming from the other districts. So it's kind of an anomaly for everybody. Everybody's kind of up in the air, and we're all facing the same thing. We just need to get our kids ready, and hopefully we did a good job doing that.
Sectionals today will also have the Capital City Cavaliers, and they'll be well represented with seven wrestlers today.
Yeah, they've done a good job.
We've talked about it from the standpoint of there being 2 weeks between districts and sectionals. Did you change anything as far as preparation is concerned?
Yeah, we did some things a little bit different because that's such a long time, and you can't make that a really hard grind, And so we took a look at it, made some adjustments, did some things. Try to keep it a little bit more spirited, to keep it lighthearted for the kids. And then the last couple of days, maybe crank it down. But, if we've got to really take a look for the kids that do qualify for state, what we're going to do for them for 2 weeks and try to keep them focused and keep them ready.
Is it different as far as mentally preparing for it when you have a two-week layover between districts and sectionals?
Oh, yeah, it's a tremendous deal. It's like tomorrow is Sunday. We usually do something a little bit on Sundays, but we're only going to have practice tomorrow because it's 2 weeks until we compete. And so we just don't want them to get wore out and wore down and say, hey, I want to go to my spring sport. We want them to understand what they're trying to accomplish and keep their spirits up and keep them going and try to keep them motivated.
As we mentioned, you had districts at the Fleming Fieldhouse 2 weeks ago, and it's always nice to wrestle at home. Take a look from the standpoint of you're going to Ozark today. Is it also an advantage for the wrestlers to get on the bus and kind of get themselves mentally prepared as they make that trip down to Ozark and have the chance to kind of maybe relax a little bit in the bus and then also mentally prepare themselves for the day?
Yeah, it does. It gives them time to do that. And also, they're a pretty close team. Our team is pretty close, and we have a lot of camaraderie on it, and it's just you know, increases that more when you're on the bus with everybody and they're telling stories and they've been singing and, you know, we just, they're kids. They're going to have a good time.
For you, you've been wrestling coach for a long time. This has been a unique season, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been the most unique season I've ever been involved in. And, you know, besides when I first took over, we had all that snow that one year. They call it the year of the snow. So, but it's just, you know, you got to handle it. That's what wrestling teaches you. How to handle adversity and handle problems, and our kids have done a great job.
As we mentioned, you have 10 wrestlers at sectionals at Ozark today. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning. Give us a key as far as your wrestling team is concerned as they head into sectionals today.
Well, you know, they've got every match. You can't think ahead. You just got to, you know, take one match at a time. That's what we've been preaching to our kids, and you know, because every match makes a difference. And this year, you're not be able to take four to state. You're able to take three. Mm-hmm. So you have to elevate your competition and your physicalness that much more. And so, you know, if we can handle those things, we'll be fine.
14 weight classes. When you take a look at it in terms of setting the bracket, I imagine that was different this year than in the past.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot different in the fact that, you know, everything's different this year.
So if you finish first in your district, what's the setup as far as, let's say you had a first-place finisher at 160, what would be the setup as far as the bracket is concerned?
Well, he'll face the number four kid from the other side, and the number two kid will face the number three kid on the other side. That's the way that works. And our number four kid will face the number one kid.
So that's similar to the way that it normally is when you get to the state tournament?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is.
Coach, we know you're busy. You're headed down to Ozark. Good luck today. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you guys very much. You guys did a great job.
Thanks. Coach.
Bye-bye.
Jefferson City Jays head wrestling coach Phil Cagle. Again, it's Class 4 sectionals today in Ozark for 10 Jefferson City wrestlers. It's scheduled to start at 10 o'clock. We're back with more after the break. It's the Coach's Show on KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
What a world it would be if finding excellent employees was easy. Instead, it's one of the most difficult tasks on a business owner's lengthy list of to-dos. But now, there's MinMoHires.com, a site dedicated to finding qualified local people to help build your business. Contact Zimmer Communications and find out how your open positions can be posted and promoted on multiple radio stations and social media platforms. Local companies hiring great local people. Post your openings now at MinMoHires.com.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Hello? Mother Nature? Yeah, I wasn't trying to make you mad when I mentioned February was known as the last month of winter.
Messing with Mother Nature.
Uncomfortable.
At AirServe, we believe the air in which you live and breathe should be comfortable and clean. Whether it's cold or hot, when it's time to upgrade your furnace and air conditioner, you can count on AirServe's installation professionals to deliver. So all you have to do is relax and enjoy the savings.
Comfortable.
Go to AirServe.com and schedule your appointment today.
Put you in your comfort zone.
Wow, she's testing.
Phoenix Programs is proud to serve veteran families in 23 Missouri counties through our Supportive Services for Veteran and Families program. If you are a veteran experiencing homelessness or at risk for homelessness, we are here to help. Please call 833-415-1707 and find help today. That's 833-415-1707. This announcement sponsored by Phoenix Programs.
You know, Mom, I might ask you for help on my math homework once in a while, but here are a few numbers you should know. Heart disease is the number one cause of death for women in the U.S. And almost two-thirds of women who die of sudden coronary heart disease have zero previous symptoms. I'm not the best at math, but I do know this. Even if you have no symptoms, you should get checked out at the Missouri Heart Center. I need you, Mom, for more than just homework. Comprehensive cardiovascular care in the heart of Missouri. MoHeartCenter.com.
Save now on compact and utility tractors during the Massey Ferguson sales event at Tompkins Implement. Designed with performance in mind, These versatile tractors are made to boost your productivity and outperform the competition. And now you'll get 0% financing for up to 84 months on Massey Ferguson compact and utility tractors. Don't forget to ask about their 10-year warranty, too. But hurry, this offer ends soon. Visit Tompkins Implement, Highway 52 West in Eldon, or go to TompkinsImplement.com.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. As we mentioned, Class 4 sectionals for the Jefferson City Jays. 10 wrestlers at Ozark today for the Helias Crusaders and for the Blair Oaks Falcons. They will compete in Class 2 sectionals at the Rackers Fieldhouse. It's scheduled to start at 10 o'clock this morning. 11 wrestlers for the Blair Oaks Falcons will compete in sectionals. They include at 106 Easton D'Amelio with a mark of 33-11. At 113, Aiden Bollinger at 25-17. At 132, Caden Sanford. Sanford is 7-19 on the season. At 145, Nick Welsh is 32-13. At 152, Brady Kirpin is 23-5. Eli Batiste, 36-5 at 160. Levi Haney, 31-4 in the 170-pound weight class. Camden Meeks is 39-5 at 182. Jaden Purdy, 24-10 on the season, wrestles in the state sectionals at the 195 weight class. At 220, Joe Welsh with a mark of 25-14. And then Devontae Sanders at 285, he has a mark of 27-14. Check in now with Jefferson City Jays head basketball coach Tony Phillips. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. How are you, Kevin?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Boy, very impressive victory for you Wednesday night against the Capital City Cavaliers. Let's talk about that at the Fleming Fieldhouse.
I tell you what, it was the boys played extremely hard. It was a great environment. It seemed like, you know, outside of basketball, the minute that we were getting closer back to what's normal.
You know, you take a look at that basketball game, and I thought defensively you played excellent all night long.
Yeah, our kids were really flying around, and you know, we had tremendous ball pressure all night, whether we were in a full court press or in a half court trap. I'm just really proud of how hard the kids played.
And a great deal of energy out on the floor for you, and I mean, we've seen that several times during the basketball season.
Yeah, we're getting better, you know, since about late January. We've been pretty good, and been playing pretty well, and so it's a good thing going into districts.
You know, one of the things you've talked about throughout the season is that you haven't seen the team put 8 minutes and four quarters, you know, together yet. If you didn't do that, or you didn't think you did that on Wednesday night, you came awful close, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought the kids did. I thought in that second quarter, I started subbing too early, and you know, allowed Capital City go on a little bit of a run, you know, and I told that was a coaching mistake on my part, but I told the kids that, you know, we're in districts now, I won't make that mistake again, and you know, I apologized to them, and I asked them at halftime. I said, hey, you got to have my back here. I just got us out of a lot of momentum that we had, and you know, start the third, I got a little bit worried, but then they turned it back on. And again, but the kids played hard all night. I needed to coach better.
You know, throughout the season, your rotation has been 9, 10, 11 players, and that's worked pretty well for you, hasn't it?
It has, you know. And you know, in late January, we added sophomore Stephen Samuels to the mix. And he's starting, you know, for us now. And I think that Stephen really solidified us as a team. He's a tremendous on-ball defender. He's a good ball handler. He can shoot it. And, you know, he's not going to score a ton of points, but we don't need him to. But he's, you know, the future is very bright for Stephen Samuels.
Boy, Sterling Deshay has had a great month of February for you, hasn't he?
He really has, and it couldn't happen to a better kid. You know, he's whether he scores 44 or if he scores 12, you know, that next day he's up before school. He's always in the gym getting more shots up. And you know, he just – you know, that was as good a performance as I've seen that I've coached, and I'm just really proud of Sterling.
He had 44 points in the victory against the Capital City Cavaliers earlier this week, and I think he tied the school record that was set by Ronnie Coleman a long time ago. And Ronnie Coleman, a great basketball player at Jefferson City High School.
Yeah, I told Sterling that, you know, once the season's over, he needs to do a little research and understand so he can appreciate who he shares that record with, because Ronnie Coleman was the real deal. And, you know, at the University of Missouri, had to time the NBA, and then, you know, everything Ronnie did down at Lincoln University. It's an honor for Sterling, and I want to make sure that he embraces that.
Did you think he was close to the record during the game?
We weren't really sure. You know, quite honestly, you know, some of the kids thought OG had it. But then you go look, Dominique Leak had it 38. In a tournament game, I think. And then somebody said, well, I thought Ronnie Coleman had 40-something. And so we kept him in there. I should have sent somebody up to talk to Coach Fox. He would have known, you know. And we couldn't get that media timeout that we needed. we knew when he got to 40, 44 that it ought to be pretty good. And then, you know, Kavion was adamant that the 44 was the record. And the irony behind it all is, you know, Sterling had no clue what the record was. He just knew he'd never been over 40 before. He's hit several 30 games, you know. But when we found out that he only tied it, Sterling said, if I would have just made that free throw, you know, because he was 7 or 8 from the free throw line. If he would have hit that, if he'd been 8 for 8, he'd own the record. So, but it was just a special night all the way around.
You know, he's a ball player that can obviously go to the glass on the drive. He can shoot the 15-footer, and he can step out to the 3-point arc. He is very difficult to defend.
Yeah, what we try to do is see how teams are going to defend him. You can usually tell early on, you know, and then Sterling does a good job of making adjustments with that. And I think as a team, we're making better adjustments to that. We're recognizing it. And then, you know, you saw a couple times on the break where, you know, one of the guards would have the ball ahead of him. And now they understand if teams are playing him a certain way that Sterling may stop her at the three, and we need to find him. And I thought we did a great job of that. Keith did it once. Steven did it once. Kavion did it once. You know, and so we're learning how to play with that.
You know, we talked about the energy that you had on the floor Wednesday. I thought there was energy in the stands as well for the basketball game. Your team feeded off of that, didn't it?
They really did. And, you know, it was just great to see, you know, even in the faces of the student section, you know, them having the ability to be a regular high school kid, you know. I mean, for a lot of them, all they know is the pandemic, what we've been dealing with, you know. And it was just like that they got to have fun for, you know, at least an hour and a half, 2 hours. And, it was very respectful between the two schools. I thought both, you know, they had a good student section as well. I just think it was a great, and that's what high school sports is about. It's about the environment. You know, nobody's going to remember what the score was, but what they will remember is that energy that night. You know, I mean, I can't even tell you what the score was today. You know, but I just remember how hard we played, how much energy was in the building, and obviously, we'll always remember Sterling's performance.
You play them again next week. When we come back from the break, we'll continue our discussion with you. We'll talk about the districts. It's Jefferson City Jays head basketball coach Tony Phillips, and we're back with more after the break. It's the Coaches Show on KWOS.
News Radio KWOS remembers.
The most listened to program in America. People want news. People want reality. People want to know what is.
Rush.
Throughout all of this, the media can't turn talk radio, can they? We are not apologetic. We do not seek the approval of people that don't like us. Very strange how no one has figured out why it is talk radio that remains powerful. It's not difficult at all if you know where to look.
News Radio KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at MissouriHillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
The KWOS Coaches Show.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show. As we mentioned in the first half hour, 10 wrestlers for the Jefferson City Jays and the Class 4 sectionals at Ozark. It's scheduled to start this morning at 10 o'clock. And as we mentioned, Helias will be hosting the Class 2 sectionals at the Rackers Fieldhouse. We went through the list of Blair Oaks Falcons 11 wrestlers for the Falcons at the Helias and Sectionals today. Well represented are the Falcons in the Sectionals. Helias has 12 wrestlers that are wrestling today, and let's go over that list very quickly before we continue our discussion as far as high school basketball is concerned. For Helias today, at 106 will be Gage Lockie, is 26-9. At 113, Carter Pringer is 27-8. Jack Loggy, undefeated at 120, he is 29-0 heading into sectionals today. Jacob Shrimp at 132 is 30-8. Carson Hayes, 28-9, wrestles at 138. At 145, it is Wyatt Fork. Fork is 27-11 on the season. At 152, Nikolai Carriega. He is 28-6. Alex Tesro at 160 will bring a 25-9 mark into the sectionals today. At 170, it is Lincoln Mertens. He is 9-10 on the season. Blake Lubring wrestles at 182, 10-15 on the year. Tanner Napier at 195, he is 22-14. And then at 285, Michael Sanner wrestles for the Crusaders today in sectionals. He has a mark of 10-15. So, Elias and Blair Oaks, two of the teams that'll be wrestling in the Class 2 sectionals. It'll be at the Rackers Fieldhouse. It's scheduled to start at 10 o'clock. And, of course, the top three finishers in each weight class, there's 14 weight classes, the top three finishers in each weight class advance on to the state wrestling tournament, which is coming up in 2 weeks. Again, we are joined by Jefferson City Jays head basketball coach Tony Phillips talking about not only the win on Wednesday night against the Capital City Cavaliers, but we're going to talk about the districts coming up next week, and you will face them again on Tuesday. And you take a look at it. We mentioned this on the broadcast on Wednesday night that we felt like that at the end of that basketball game, it gave each team something to think about as they get ready for districts in that game next Tuesday. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think they had a little bit of a run there in the start the third, and then, we made an adjustment on the ball screen, and then we made a couple shots and got out running. And, I'm sure that they're going to come back with something different, but our focus will remain on us and what we need to do better.
Now, you take a look, it ends up being an 89-54 win for you. You led by 20. We talked about this on the broadcast as well. The two quarters that were huge for you, the first quarter and the fourth quarter. You outscored them 26-6 in the first quarter, outscored them 31-15 in the fourth quarter of that basketball game.
Yeah, we got to learn to make sure we put four of them together, though. And again, I thought we were much closer than that. I don't think we played our best four quarters of basketball yet. But I thought the other night that I got in the way of the boys a little bit, like I said earlier. But it won't be that hard to get their attention and to bring that same energy. They'll be ready to go Tuesday night.
Now, you take a look at it. You're 10-14 on the season, but I took a look at the final scores, and I think you had 8 games decided by 5 points or less. So that 10-14 could have been easily shifted to 14-10 on the year, couldn't it?
That's one of the things I kept preaching to the kids, to keep them coming back every day and working hard, because they could have decided to just to turn it in, and go the other direction. But, of those games, so most of our losses are against state-ranked teams, mm-hmm. Whether it's class 4, 5, or 6, and so we knew what we were possible, what was possible for us. And, our goal from the get-go has been a district championship, and everything we've done leading up to this point was to prepare us for that opportunity.
You started the season 1-8, and I think you were at one point in time 1-9 at home, but you guys kept after it, didn't you?
We really did, and that's a testament to the kids' character, and the fact that they didn't tune us coaches out. And, it's a testament to Coach Brian Center and Coach Jay, that they continue to stay positive with the kids and just everybody's continued to work and good things happen when you do that.
And that's a great lesson in sports, is that when you have a situation where you're struggling, if the team continues to work hard and everybody has a positive attitude and they say, hey, we can turn this around, and they do turn it around, it's a great message, isn't it?
It really is. That's the big thing. The sports that we play is a game, but they're great vehicles for teaching lessons in life. And if our kids go out in life and attack it with the same mentality as, let's say, they've done this season, they're going to be successful in life. And at the end of the day, any coach, that's all they want, is their kids to be successful in life. And if we have some success on the court, great. But the lessons that they learn on the court is what really matters.
Yeah, we talked about that 1-9 at home earlier in the season. You've now won 3 of your last 4 games at home, and I think you've won 6 of your last 9 games. So you're playing well heading into postseason play, aren't you?
We really are, and that's what, you know, teams that win district championships, they usually do play well down the stretch. And we talked about that with the kids. This is the time of year you want to take a step forward every time you're out on the court.
And you've talked about this. You talked about it with us a couple of weeks ago. Is this team, you want this team to play for a district title?
Yeah, we not only do we want to play for it, we want to win it, you know, and we understand what we got to do. You know, first thing we got to do is take care of business Tuesday night. And then, you know, we've told the kids from Dave since districts were released that the district will run through Goliath. And, you know, we've had 2 really good games with them, and we need to take care of business on Tuesday. But, man, what an environment that'll be.
Couple of things real quick with regards to your schedule. What was your biggest win of the season so far, the win over the Blair Oaks Falcons? And the other thing to keep in mind, we talked about this on the broadcast last night as we did Helias and Columbia Rockbridge in a Central Missouri Activities Conference basketball game, is Columbia Hickman ended with just 1 loss in the conference. You handed them that loss back on February the 9th as you beat the QP 70-63.
Yeah, and, you know, I hadn't really thought about what our biggest win is. You know, I know the Hickman win was a big win. There could have been a lot of them there, and every coach can say this, but, you know, really for us, when we learned that we could play with anybody, was late January against Logan Rogersville down in the Lebanon tournament. It was a double overtime loss. We lost by 1. It was 76-75. They just got a D1 transfer in, a kid that's going to, I think, Western Illinois. He's about 6'7", 6'8".
Mm-hmm.
Very athletic, and that was the first time all year that we got close to competing to what I think is the best of our ability. And, you know, the one thing we struggled with early on, mildly, was dealing with anybody that had any size, you know. And so once we got through that game, and you know, they're pretty big, 6'5", you know, 6'6", whatever, and then they had the 6'7", 6'8", D1 guy. I just thought our kids believed at that point, and I think that allowed us to get the win over Blair Oaks, you know, and Hickman's so big, you know, and we just didn't deal with size very well early, and so it allowed us to get the win over Hickman. So I would say that if you ask the kids, the biggest win this year has been Capital Schools, just because they've been waiting on this game for a long time.
Mm-hmm. That win on Wednesday night against the Capital City Cavaliers, and we talked about it a little bit in the first half hour about how defensively you were very, I mean, you really got after it defensively. There was a lot of energy there. Is it difficult to teach defense? Do kids want to play defense today in the game of basketball?
Well, I think they all rather play on the offensive end. But, you know, I just think that if you can get into their heads about, you know, the offense becomes much easier if you play good defense. You know, we can get out and run if we play good defense. There's only 2 ways to get out and run, and that's either defend the ball, create turnovers, or be terrible defensively and let them score, you know. Mm-hmm. And so our kids are really starting to embrace the idea of, listen, we're not very big, so we've got to pressure the basketball. And then we've got to have guys rotating, and we've got to have guys flying around. And at times, when we're playing our hardest, you know, you would think that there are 6 or 7 players out there. You know, and I think if Capital City was being honest, they would tell you at times it felt like there were 7 of us out there, you know, because we were absolutely flying around. We were diving for loose balls, you know, and as a coach, you know, and as a Jay fan, by gosh, how could you ask for anything more than that?
Next week will be districts. It'll open up on Tuesday. Helias is the #1 seed. They will be at home at the Rackers Fieldhouse. The 6:00 tip-off is they'll meet Sedalia Smith Cotton. Also at 6:00 on Tuesday, you will be at home at the Fleming Fieldhouse to take on the Capital City Cavaliers. You are the #2 seed in the district. You know, it's a situation where this year, because of the pandemic, it might have been a situation where you might not know the teams very well in the district. You guys know each other very well in the district.
Yeah. You know, and it is what it is. And I think that, you know, we talked to our kids about, you know, there was only the last game against Capital City. There's only one first ever meeting, and that was the other night. Well, and then our message already with this next game is that game doesn't really matter if we don't take care of business tonight, because this is the game that counts. You know, everybody's 0-0, you know. And so I think it's a good thing for our kids that we're turning right around playing Capital City again, because the motivation, the energy, everything is right there for them, and it's at home. And then we take care of business there. As I anticipate, we could, if we play the best of our ability, then we'll be going to Helias.
Over the last 6 weeks, what's the biggest change you've seen in your basketball team?
I just think experience and growth. You know, Sterling's the only kid on the team that had ever played varsity basketball. You know, and you know, everybody went through the pandemic this summer, but not everybody had as young a team as we did coming in. You know, we started our practice. We had more practices outside at Memorial Park than we did anywhere, you know, because we weren't allowed in the gym. So I think just that what we didn't get to do this summer, we had to go through a little bit of growing pains in November and December, and then about January, start putting it all together. We learned how to play with each other and what we need to do to be successful. So I would say experience, I mean, you know, and because their effort's been there all year.
We talked to you earlier in the season about there being situations in the schedule, at least early in December and the first part of January, where because of the pandemic, there were games that had to be canceled or moved, and you had to find other people as far as teams to put into the schedule, and a lot of things were being done as far as shuffling the schedule around. When you get to the end of the season, you ended up playing 24 games, and I think you can only play 25, so you were almost there as far as the full schedule is concerned.
Yeah, we knew we were one short of a full schedule, but there wasn't really nowhere to plug it in at. Our administration tried, and you know, but I think that's a testament to you know, our administration, you know, and Chad Reisner, Jenner Simmons, Jordan Chapman, and just everybody working really hard, you know, to maximize the kids' opportunities to compete. You know, because we saw, you know, last spring when those kids didn't get to do, whether it was track or baseball or soccer or golf or whatever it was they did, to not be able to do that, you know, I just think we all have a greater appreciation of what, you know, we get to do as coaches and players on a daily basis. And, you know, so give that credit goes to the administration and for maximizing our kids' opportunities. And we're very, very, very grateful for that.
Okay, Tuesday night is opening round of districts as you will take on the Capital City Cavaliers. We're on the air for basketball broadcast at 5:45. 6 o'clock is the tip. You played them last week. What's the number one key for you on Tuesday night?
Energy. If we bring energy and we pressure the basketball, it'll be a good night for the Jays.
Coach, thanks for the visit. Good luck next week.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
All right, Jefferson City Jays head basketball coach Tony Phillips. Let's give you the schedule for the Jays boys district. First of all, number one seed Helias will be at home at the Rackers Fieldhouse Tuesday night in the district semifinals. They'll meet Sedalia Smith-Cotton. Game scheduled to start at 6 o'clock. We'll have, as I mentioned, the broadcast as Jefferson City meets Capital City as the number two seed Jays meet the number three seed Cavaliers. Again, it's 6 o'clock as far as the tip is concerned. We're on the air 5:45 right here on KWOS. Winners will play for the district title Friday at 7 o'clock. On the girls' side, the number one seed, the Jefferson City Lady Jays, and they've drawn a bye, and they will get to the district title game, which will be Thursday at 7 o'clock at the Fleming Fieldhouse. They'll await the winner of the ball game on March the 1st between Capital City, the number two seed, and Sedalia Smith-Cotton. That one's scheduled to tip off at 6 o'clock. Back with more after the break. The Coaches Show on KWOS.
The closer you get to retirement, the more questions you might have. Is 2021 the year you can retire? It may be time to prepare what you've saved in your retirement plans to work for you the rest of your life. Greg Frank at Missouri Hills Wealth Management will answer any questions you might have. Get started today at Missouri HillsWealth.com. Let Greg strive to make your retirement everything you imagined. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC.
Hi, this is Ryan.
And Caitlin.
Of Bentledge Homes.
It's never a good time.
Some things just seem to fall into that category. Quitting a bad habit.
Taking a big trip.
Building your custom dream home.
But it's never too late to turn never a good time into there's no time like the present.
We're available 12 months of the year to get started on a custom dream home you'll love for all time.
So when you're ready, we're ready.
Bentledge Homes.
Your dream home begins with Bentledge.
BentledgeHomes.com.
Attention, gun collectors and hunting enthusiasts. This weekend, February 27th and 28th at the Cowan Civic Center in Lebanon, RK Shows presents The Gun and Knife Show. Shop a huge variety of vendors with guns, hunting supplies, military surplus, and outdoor gear. Thousands of guns and wholesale ammunition. Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 9 to 3. Don't miss the big Gun and Knife Show this weekend at the Cowan Civic Center in Lebanon. Get tickets now at rkshows.com. RK Shows.
This is John
and Wes,
your tractor guys at Rosebud Tractor.
Wes, I think I'm going dense.
John, don't be so hard on yourself. Yeah, you're a bit dense, but you're a good guy.
What? No, I mean I'm going with the high-density round baler from New Holland so I can get more hay in each bale this season. It stores better and you don't have to handle as many bales. Wait, you think I'm dense?
Oh, look, we're out of time. Rosebud Tractor, your tractor guys, in Lynn and Rosebud, Missouri.
RosebudTractor.com.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Kevin.
You know, you are coming off, I think, a, what, five, six, seven-game winning streak, aren't you?
Yeah, seven games to be exact. Yep.
Seven-game winning streak. You take a look at your schedule, and we've mentioned this before, but all of your losses have been to very good basketball teams, and I looked at it again last night, and I think all those teams that you've lost to have at least 16 wins on the season.
Yeah, 16 wins, and I think they're all state-ranked opponents. Very good opponents, to say the least. And so I like where we stand. Conference play has gone really well for us once we got past Boonville and finished the season the right way. So hopefully that helps us out next week.
You take a look at the schedule. A couple of wins over Hallsville, a couple of wins this year over the California Lady Pintos, and always a good basketball program.
Yeah, both really good programs there, and a lot of success over the years, and so it's good to get two wins against teams like that, and it's a good gauge to see where you're at, and you can always learn from those games whether you win or lose.
Heading into district, do you feel like you're playing your best basketball right now?
I do. I'm really, really happy with where we're at. I think we're peaking at the right time, and that's not something you can always say at the end of the season, but I thought we played our best game of the entire season Thursday night against Southern Boone. Just showed a lot of mental fortitude in that game and just continued to push through some of the challenges. And it came away with a big win for us. And so, again, I hope that springboards us into next week.
That's an impressive win at 64-46.
Yeah. Damon Wren, Coach Wren up there, he's got a great program, and his team plays so hard. And you always know that going into the game. So got to be ready to handle the basketball and limit the turnovers. We only had four in the first half and a few in the second half. And I think that was kind of the recipe for success for us in that one.
We asked Coach Phillips this a couple of moments ago, but what have you seen as far as the biggest difference in your basketball team over the last 6 weeks?
I think it's just maturity. I think we've found who we are on both ends of the court, and because of that, the players are playing with a lot of confidence, and our chemistry is very good right now. Everybody understands their role, and you're seeing a lot of unselfish basketball. We don't care who gets the points as long as at the end of the game, you know, we've got the higher score. So it's been a joy to coach, and it's interesting. It feels as if I'm coaching a little bit less than I was early in the season because the players are, like I said, taking responsibility and accepting their roles, and they're just playing so well together.
You know, this is your first year as head basketball coach for the Lady Falcons. Has it gone by quick for you?
It's gone by very quick. It's been a challenging season. A lot of the coaches I talk to say it's a heck of a year to be a head coach for your first season. But I tell you, it's gone by quick, and just because there's a lot going on, you know. And I assume this last week or so will go by pretty quick as well. And hopefully we can just live in the moment, try to do the best we can, and not overcomplicate things.
I was going to say, you take a look at your schedule, and again, you had to make adjustments to the schedule, and you almost got a full schedule in this year, didn't you?
We did. We got 23 games, so we came up too short. We didn't get a play in the Central Bank shootout, and then we were supposed to have Battle, which was rescheduled for Wednesday, but we opted out of playing four straight games right before districts. And so, you know, you really can't complain with that. I'd like to have those two games, but that's part of it.
All right, let's take a look at the district. You are the number 3 seed. You will meet Cuba, the number 6 seed, Monday at 6 o'clock. Number 4, Owensville against number 5, Salem, Monday at 6. And then the number 2 seed, St. James basketball team, will take on the winner of your ball game in Cuba on Wednesday at 6. And then Fatawa is the number 1 seed. They will meet the winner of the ball game between Owensville and Salem Wednesday at 6 o'clock. Title game is scheduled for Friday at 6 o'clock. Good district, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great district. Obviously, Fatima, they've had one of their best years, I think, down there with Coach Baker. He's done a phenomenal job with them, and they're going to be a tough opponent, you know, if we make it that far. And St. James, of course, everybody knows Coach Wells down there at St. James. He's always got them playing their best basketball at the end of the season, so that would definitely be a challenge also. And so we're just, you know, right now, focused one game at a time. We're gonna, like I said, focus on Cuba for Monday, and then focus hopefully on St. James after that. So we'll see how it goes Monday night.
Six-team district. Are you familiar with most of these teams being on your schedule this year?
You know, we haven't seen Owensville and we haven't seen Salem. So mm-hmm. Those two teams are kind of new to us. I do have a little film, but, you know, I don't necessarily think we're going to end up playing them at the end. We could, and not to say anything about the programs, but it would be in the championship game if we did. And so, like I said, we want to focus on the first one or two before we get too far ahead of ourselves. So, but no, those are the only two. We played Cuba down at the Fatima Comet Classic down there and played pretty well against them. And, of course, St. James and Fatima, we played both of those teams this year. Split with St. James, we beat them early in the season. They beat us down the Comet Classic, and then we lost to Fatima by 8 at home earlier in the season.
January 11th, I think, was when you played Cuba, won the ball game by a score of 61-28. That's about 6 weeks ago, so there's obviously differences in both basketball teams than when you played January.
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's something you have to plan for, and you have to assume that they've gotten better as well. And so we got to make sure that we do a good job of giving ourselves the best chance to win that ball game Monday night.
Give us a quick scouting report on the Cuba basketball team. What are some of the keys for you?
Well, they're more of a half-court team, and they like to play zone, especially the 1-3-1. And so, you know, in a 1-3-1, historically, you can pressure a little bit more. So we just need to take care of the basketball. And I think they do like to overplay a little bit. So we tried to really play on the backside. I think we're effective with that the first time we played them. I don't think they're going to press a lot. And I think, you know, something that was effective for us in the first game was trying to put a lot of pressure on them. They don't have a lot of depth for ball handlers, and so I think if we can apply that pressure, we can force them into turnovers and get some quick baskets and shots for ourselves.
You take a look at your schedule. You guys can score some points, can't you?
We can. We can. I think the magic number for us seems to be right around that 50 mark, which mm-hmm. isn't a lot of points, but in some of our games this year, of course, we've gone over 60 points, and not one of those things where I really hang my hat on. I'm not looking to see how many we score. It's more of are we playing right on both ends of the floor, and we've held teams to very, very low scoring, you know, in the 40s most nights. And so that's impressive to me. And anytime you can hold a team to 50 or less, I think you put yourself in a great spot to win the game.
You're playing pretty good on defense, aren't you?
Yeah, that's one of the things that, you know, you talk about starting to find ourselves and understand who we are as a basketball team. The 3-2 defense for us just is really, really effective. And the girls have just started to really understand it at a high level. At times, it probably even looks like a matchup zone defense. That's really hard to play against because you've always got somebody in your face. So you can pressure shooters and take them off the line, but you can also guard inside. We've got, you know, Autumn Bax and Natalie Heckman and Maddie Besson. Those girls do such an outstanding job of guarding laterally, but also guarding, you know, contesting that shot once they catch around that free throw line area. So, you know, we can guard inside and out. If you can do that and you can rebound out of it, you'd be pretty successful there.
Coach, thanks for the visit this morning. Good luck next week.
Thanks, Kevin.
Blair Oaks Lady Falcons head basketball coach Brandon Moore. Once again, they will be in action Monday, and they are playing Cuba. Tip-off is scheduled for 6 o'clock. See you next week on The Coach's Show.
News Radio 950, KWOS, and on FM at 104.5.